This episode is brought to you by Shopify. With Shopify, 2026 is the year you make it happen. It gives you the tools to build your dream store, online and in person. Plus, with marketing built in, it'll help you reach exactly who you need to. Join the millions who've already made the leap, like Gymshark and Allbirds. And ring in the new year with Shopify. Sign up for your £1 per month trial at shopify.co.uk/Spotify.
If you're tired all the time, unmotivated, or struggle with sexual dysfunction, including erectile dysfunction, this conversation may explain why nothing you've tried has worked. Today, we're talking about something most people never connect: how unresolved trauma from your past can quietly suppress testosterone, disrupt blood flow, and shut down sexual performance even years later. Willie Handler is back. And no, we did not plan this. We are dressed the same today. And we did not plan this, but it's really amazing because Willie Handler is here. We're both in blue, and we're going to help people understand how unresolved stress and trauma quietly sabotage hormones, energy, confidence, and sexual health. If you did not listen to the previous episodes on this channel of Willie Handler's, please do so, which they will help you understand this episode on an even deeper level. So, Willie, why are so many men dealing with low energy, motivation, erectile dysfunction, even when they're eating well, exercising, and they aren't old? I mean, this kind of thing is happening to men in their 30s and 40s.
Well, you know, and there's a connection that probably many people don't identify, not even physicians. Though I know of one physician who, if you come in to the office around erectile dysfunction, the first question they will ask is, could there be a psychological component to your problem? I suggest most men would say no, but there probably is. And because the little blue pill, it's not why we're wearing blue, but the little blue pill seems to be, you know, the approach that's preferred by many. And we talked in the past about how trauma experienced by ancestors, and, you know, it could be a father, a grandfather in a war, or they were refugees, or whatever trauma they were exposed to, can be inherited and passed down. And we talked about that in previous episodes, and what impact it will have on descendants. And we talked about how it might impact, create stress, anxiety, problems with making connections and relationships, problems with getting, making commitments, and that so often people are in a kind of a survival mode and really not understanding why they're burning out and things like that. So all these things, and we talked about, and I talked about previously about stress, and that stress is a, and trauma, and stress and trauma are, your body's adapts to stress in situations that are where you might be in danger, or and it increases certain hormones like adrenaline so that you can fight or flee. And I've talked about that in the past, and that's a healthy thing, but that stress and anxiety also has an impact on your body. Because less important things are sort of shut down or reduced, like digestion and a few other things, so that you can, you know, and everything goes to your muscles and your heart rate goes up and so on and so forth. These are all sort of reactions to anxiety and stress. When stress becomes chronic, then those kind of things continue because you're still producing those hormones and you're diverting enzymes to your stomach. So people develop high blood pressure, stomach problems. And one of the other things is erectile dysfunction because your body basically says, right now you don't need testosterone. And so you're producing a lot less testosterone. So in a chronic stress situation, your body continues to provide you with an inadequate supply of testosterone. So trauma that your grandfather was exposed to can indirectly lead to low energy levels and erectile dysfunction. So there is a connection that's kind of hard to follow. So when your cortisol level and your testosterone level are reduced, you're going to feel fatigued, irritable, and your performance in bed will be impacted. And so I think that a drug intervention will not res is only a sort of a temporary fix, or sometimes it doesn't work at all, and it's not really addressing the real problem.
Yeah, and it's really, really frustrating. I mean, when you're wanting to be intimate with someone and your body is not cooperating with you, that can really kill your confidence and your self-esteem and make you feel like something is wrong with you. And I feel like something that, society kind of feeds us is that it's normal to have some sexual dysfunction as we get older. And so I always feel like it's such an oversimplification of what could actually be the root cause, right? And so
Were you looking at me when
people.
you're talking about getting older?
Yeah. No, I'm saying it's like if a man can't get it up, someone will say, well, it's probably because of your age. This is normal. This is normal performance issues as you get older. And that really isn't the case. So I love how you're illustrating that past stuff. Like it could have happened, like you said, to your great great grandparents who were exposed to traumatic situations. It can be affecting us today. That's why it's so important for us to really get to know ourselves on that deep level and start getting rid of that trauma that's in the body.
And you bring up the point about being older, and it's known that testosterone levels do drop off as you age, but not necessarily in a significant way. And so but if stress and anxiety are also pushing down your testosterone levels, then okay, it might be okay up to a certain age, but as you start losing testosterone because of age as well, the two combine, then you'll start to notice it. And so, it's not that age isn't a factor, but it will happen earlier, much, much earlier if you're experiencing lower than normal testosterone levels because of other factors.
So, how does this unresolved stress or trauma keep the nervous system stuck in fight or flight? Like long after the event is over, and you don't even have to be at the event because what you're illustrating is like your parents' trauma is affecting you in this day and moment. And the work that you did illustrated that with the Holocaust and all of that. So, how does this keep the nervous system stuck in fight or flight, even if it's not hours?
Well, and part of what I'll talk a little bit about the research I did, because I've done a fair amount of research on intergenerational trauma, which is inherited trauma. And many people are what I would call the trauma they've inherited has made them hypervigilant. So what does hypervigilant means? That you're always
Just
worried
thinking
about
that.
something bad is going to happen.
Right.
So, which means you're stuck in that fight or flight mode, even though you're not in danger. I literally, one of the facts I thought maybe I'll talk about is that, I interviewed a bunch of Jewish people who are descendants of Holocaust survivors, so they are carrying around trauma. After October 7th attack, and I'm not want to get into politics or anything like that, but they're watching it on TV and it's a triggering event for them. And what do? Some of them literally went to neighbors and said, "Would you be able to hide me in the event I need to hide?" They're not in danger, but they're already in fight or flight mode. And so I bring that up as an example. So yeah, if you're hypervigilant, if your lifestyle is creating a lot of stress and anxiety, or maybe you already have a lot of anxiety because you've inherited it, then these kind of things will have an impact on you. And the solution is not necessarily medication so that you perform better, but it requires a lifestyle change.
Yeah, absolutely. So when cortisol, which is the stress hormone, stays elevated for too long, what impact does that have on the body and specifically hormones and sex?
Well, I related most to sort of like low energy levels, because it kind of drains. You don't have adequate cortisol levels, or actually you have high cortisol level. It kind of like wears you down, and so
Right.
you have low energy and you're constantly in stressed.
Right.
And once you get stuck in that mode, it's really, really difficult to get out of it unless you consciously take steps to do so.
Right.
And if people listen to my fourth episode, which was the last one I did, I talk about how to rewire your nervous system so that you can address that stored trauma, reduce your stress levels, and eventually your hormone levels will return to the what is supposed to be the normal levels.
Yeah. So I'll share a personal story actually. And I was in my 30s and I was single and I was dating and I met this really amazing guy and he was a little bit older than me. And every time that we would try and be intimate, like he had trouble with his performance. And he was so embarrassed. He didn't even want to talk about it. He was pretending it wasn't happening. And one day I said, like, is there something wrong or like what is going on and how can I help kind of thing. And so he ended up going to see a naturopath because sometimes low B12 levels in our bodies for men, so men out there if you're listening, B12 can cause erectile dysfunction as well. So I had been seeing a naturopath and I recommended he go see her and so he got on some B12 supplements, but it still wasn't helping. And it turned out that it was all the stress related to the divorce he was going through. And so I feel like that moment really taught me a lot about that because As a woman on the other side of that, we right away think, oh my God, is it me? Like, is it me? Like, that this person is having these difficulties having sex, right? So I think having open conversations is another really important part in this, is we can't be ashamed of it. We can't feel embarrassed about it. We have to talk about it, 'cause if we don't talk about it and address it, then it's not going to be fixed. Like me and that person, it was like three or four instances before I had the courage to say, hey, listen, can we talk about this? Like, what is actually happening here? But without that conversation, there would never have been a resolution. And that caused a lot of turmoil in the relationship.
Yeah, and I can see that because for a lot of men, something like that is embarrassing or threatening, and we know that many men just don't like to open up, period. I've had that experience because when I was looking for volunteers to interview for my book on trauma. I can tell you exactly the ratio of men to women. It was basically one man for every four women,
Right.
because men are not going to come forward and talk about emotions and trauma and things like that. They prefer to be stoic, and
Yeah.
so
They
that.
prefer it because society tells them they should be, right? Like
Right,
it's
right.
again, it
You're
comes
right.
down to all the past traumas and
Suck it
what
up,
society has done.
right? It's
Suck it
right. You
up.
know,
Yeah.
suck it up, or it's a kind of a macho thing to not talk about feelings. And so that carried on to my research, but it also has an impact here because when chronic stress starts to impact on you, it impacts on relationships, as Lisa pointed out. It can have, but not just sexual relationships, but relationships with peers and family and things like that. And because chronic stress has many detrimental impacts, and on your personal health as well, because you're more susceptible to high blood pressure, heart attacks, strokes, things like that. You're more at risk, and so it's not surprising that men have a higher rate of these types of illnesses than women do, because they will hold it in until it causes that kind of damage.
Yeah, for sure. And how frustrating. I mean, to feel mentally interested in sex, you know, like I've talked to people, men and women, who are like, I am so interested in sex, and I, you know, I fantasize about it, but my body just isn't responding. Like, how frustrating is that? And yeah, I mean, that's a sign your body's speaking to you, right? And so sex is also related to.
We're going to have a separate episode about your fantasies. You know that. Next episode, Lisa's fa sex fantasies.
Oh man. I don't know where I was going with that now. You just threw a curveball in there. That's hilarious. But it is frustrating. And I think, oh, what I was saying is that sexual energy is tied to creative energy. And so I know we're speaking about sexual dysfunction today, but sex and creativity run hand in hand. So when someone is not able to perform, that also means that they're not stimulated. They don't have that curious, childlike personality, and all of their creativity gets suppressed as well. So these are things that can be really hard on the body, the mind, the confidence, and your spirit. And so, what are some things that people can do? Like, how do you start? What did you learn in your studies and your the work that you did?
Well, and you know, and the, and first thing, you know, there is actually a section in my book where I actually do talk about hormonal impacts of stress, and trauma, and also what I've, you know, tried to learn is about how to sort of. And your nervous system, I should add, is when you have chronic stress, your nervous system has adapted to that stress level and it maintains it so that even when you're not stressed, where you're not in, when I say not stressed, I mean when you're not in a stressful situation, you still feel all this anxiety and stress. And when you do come across a sort of a stressful situation, it really goes off the chart. But what unique you can do on your own, without any outside intervention, is work on rewiring your nervous system. And what does that mean? And you can do that basically over, you know, over a very short time frame, like 30 days. And what that really means is, you know, there's multiple steps, and you know, like I tell people, you can start off by just doing breathing exercises. You know, you breathe in deeply through your nose, hold it for several seconds, then slowly blow it out. You do that for 5 minutes a day, twice a day, and what that does is lowers your heart rate, starts to lower your, you know, some of your, you know, some of the hormonal levels, and gets your nervous system and body to get more accustomed to being calm. And that's what you want to do, is reach a state of calmness. And then you can start expanding that after a week or two, and start doing including in their grounding exercises. And there's like a number of grounding exercises that you can do sitting in a chair, even with your feet on the ground. But what I prefer to do is I'll go out for a 10, 15-minute walk, which is not much, and just no devices with you or anything like that. It's just a walk and just experiencing the environment around you, whether you're at home and you know you and whether you know you're near a park or something like that, and appreciating nature, or even in a cityscape, and focus your mind on your surroundings. That also has a calming effect on you, and you can expand into yoga or meditation, all kinds of things. But the whole idea is to build into your routine, and not very time consuming, is certain activities that will calm down your nervous system and bring you back to a more normal sort of equilibrium. And it doesn't take that long. You can literally do that in a month. And there's lots, we talked about that in our last episode, and there's lots of other resources online as well if you want to learn more about it.
The key there is little things make a big difference, right? Like when someone thinks of a health issue, it really people think right away that they're gonna have to undertake these huge changes in their lives, but some simple steps is literally waking up and taking 5 minutes to do breath work or meditation or starting the day with a glass of water. It starts out with something really small. And so building consistency, like making little changes, are going to move the needle like a millimeter a day, and then your body's going to start calming down. Do you really think you can do that in 30 days?
I know for a fact, because you know, in the month of December, I this night 2025 was a kind of a stressful year for me, partly my own doing, but I decided that, and I was working on writing a book And I finished it sort of a first draft the end of November. And I decided I'm going to take the month of December off and do things that will improve my health. And so, yeah, I worked on calming down my nervous system. And guess what? I started sleeping better, everything, I'm more relaxed. I could focus on things better. And so, yeah, it only took me a month. And I'm right now in much better shape than I was in the end of November. And I'm trying to sort of maintain that through this year as well. So my experience is, yeah, you can do those kind of things and find very quick results.
I love that. So, last few things. Why do you think this issue is becoming more common in younger men now more than ever?
I think that we're living in a very stressful time. There's not just stress. There's stress in the workplace. There's stress at home very often. You look at our exterior environment, the political environment. It's becoming very polarized and stressful as well. And there's so much discourse in the world that it's starting to impact on everyone. And so it's hitting men much younger. And it's kind of you can't change the environment so much. You can do little things to change the environment, but you can work on protecting yourself. And that you can do. Because and I've many people have approached me and say, I'm overwhelmed and so on and so forth. And I'm going, well, if there's not changes that you can make in your own environment, then you have to do things internally so that and adapt so that you can better function in a world that is like topsy-turvy. So Suishing said. So yeah, I think that's why, what we're talking about is very important, not just about testosterone level, because there's more serious stress create more serious health problems than just erectile dysfunction. And it is a killer. And it will often lead to a much earlier death. And it sounds very grim, but it's true. We should probably add too that we've been talking just about men's hormonal levels, but stress has an impact on women as well. And I have my understanding because I have not had much experience, but a stress will also impact on estrogen and will have as a result will impact on women's menstrual cycle, on things like fatigue, irritability, low energy, things like that as well. So, it's not a male thing, it is a people thing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. As a woman who's been very stressed in the past, I didn't get my period for months at one point in my life because I was stuck in fight or flight. So I love how this conversation, reframes sexual dysfunction, not as like a personal failure, but as a signal biologically that something deeper needs attention and looking at. So when someone has that aha moment that they're like, okay, I'm ready to look at this. What are the first steps that people can do to start looking at the root of the issue?
That's a really the tricky point, isn't it? Is that and you go to a doctor and if you have the nerve to talk about erectile dysfunction, then I think the easy thing for a physician to do is to write a script. And that doesn't get to the root of the problem. It might improve your performance, it might not, but it might improve your performance. But it doesn't get to the root of the problem. And so I think you have to look at your life and say, am I experiencing burnout? There's a sign. Am I over irritable? Do I feel really stressed? Do I have problems sleeping? These are all signs of the impact on family trauma on yourself as a person. And do I have high blood pressure? Right? There's another one. If you have all these indicators, then it's more than just a drop in testosterone level. It's your body system reacting to too much anxiety and stress. And so if you have all these signs, you really need to look at what you can do. And I've talked, I talked a lot about what you can do on your own, but I always throw in sometimes the help of a professional can help you identify what those levels of stress are and work with you on reducing those stress and leading a healthier and happier life.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And I think that's the goal of this conversation is to normalize that a little bit so people feel confident walking in to their provider's office or talking to their therapist or a trusted friend and addressing the issue because it's not something to be ashamed of. So thank you so much for being here and for breaking this down in a way that people rarely hear. Thanks for making it really fun, making it a fun conversation. Where can
Oh,
people
and
find more about
wait,
your work?
I should also point out the next episode we're not going to be talking about Lisa's fantasies. Maybe when we're off air, I might talk to her about them. But actually, the next one's actually very important because it's about breaking the silence. So those men and sometimes women who are stoic and are going to suck it up and not talk about all those things that are bothering them. That's what we're going to talk about. We have to break down that barrier and give ourselves permission to do so. So I'm looking forward, and I hope people will join us for my last episode.
Yeah, I'm excited. Where can people find out more about you and the work that you do and did and all the amazing things, including this beautiful book that you wrote called Out from the Shadows?
I like where you position that too, just off your eye level, so it's perfect. My website is willyhandler.com. I beginning of the month when I got back to doing work, I actually totally restructured my website, so it's easier to find information and much more informative. And there's a section on resources. There's a section on books. And then there's a lot of information about myself as well, and how to reach out to me. I also write about these kind of things on Substack. And so if you look at for Willie Handler on Substack, you will find articles about there's a mix of stuff because there's a mix of stuff about anti-Semitism, but there's a lot of stuff about trauma and mental health. And so I welcome people to look for me there, and I'm on social media again. use the name Willie Handler and you will find me and hopefully follow me. And again, people want to reach out, it's quite easy to do so.
What is your goal with the work that you're putting out there, and what message are you looking to get across?
Well, I have that book that is on Lisa's shelf is was my effort to look at my family's trauma and write about it. And I talk about, and a good, there's a chunk of the book where I talk about my own trauma. And I decided after I unpack my own trauma, I would sort of reach out to people in my community who are experiencing the same thing, and talk to them about what they've experienced. And that's what my next book is about. So this is a so and I'm not only do I write about it, but I speak about it as well. So I going forward, I will continue to write and speak about trauma and how people can fix themselves. And that's kind of my goal is to be a helper where I can.
Well, you are definitely helping by getting the word out and by breaking the stigma and sharing your story. Thank you so much for being here today. I am really excited for the next episode and even more excited that it won't be related to my sexual fantasies.
Thank
Thank you, Willie. It's been such a pleasure.
you so much.
And if you out there are struggling with anything, including sexual dysfunction, you are not alone. Do not be ashamed of it. Start the conversation. It's worth living your life. Until next time, take care, everybody.